make it, do it. Makes us honor, better, faster, stronger.
Campbell on second down and 5.5. Looks right, comes back to the left, going long for Gordon. He's out there and he caught the ball at the 20, at the 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
Well, unbelievable catch, unbelievable throw.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Takes the snap, Dalton back, looking near side, throws it, picked off, and an open run. It's Joe Hayden, and he's in, touchdown!
And now, here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagura.
A Therapy Monday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. I can't make myself go into a Joe Hayden type of emotional rant, because I'm beyond that. We saw this coming. Nathan and I saw this coming on Friday. We sat here. We said they're probably going to lose this game, lose it by a few points. And it wasn't so much because we thought the Jaguars were a great team coming in. In fact, they've been a pretty bad team, and they weren't that much better of a team yesterday. But the way the Browns have played, the way their season has gone, this one seemed like it was going to come down to just the way it did, a close loss. I think the point total was more than we anticipated. I know it was more than we anticipated. But this is the sad state of this football team, and it is the reality of the Browns, which unfortunately is all we have left to look at, is the reality of the Browns. And it's a team that has a disaster of disasters at quarterback. Could be starting its sixth different quarterback in 13 games against the Patriots Sunday. Sixth different starter in 13 games. Nathan, I get to that point, and now my brain just freezes up. I don't know what the hell else to say.
It is nuts. It is nuts. It is not a recipe for success in the National Football League. Turning the ball over three times a game, three straight weeks, not a recipe for success in the National Football League, and that's why the Browns are struggling as they are. And yes, you and I both thought, you know, maybe we're going for a little reverse jinx, but it certainly seemed very, very feasible and plausible that the Browns would not defeat the Jaguars, and that is in fact what happened. The way that it played out, I thought was very interesting in that the Browns did score four touchdowns on offense. That is a bonanza for this football team right now. And they had the lead at the end and needed to get a stop and failed to get the stop with the defense. Chad Henne to Cecil Shorts against Joe Hayden. I mean, you take that matchup 100 times out of 100, I guess 99 times out of 100, and that was the one anomaly, and that's what ended up being the difference in the game. And to waste a historic day by Josh Gordon. And for the people who say, oh, you know, his numbers were in garbage time against the Steelers, okay. Not a single one of these numbers against the Jacksonville Jaguars came in garbage time, including a 95-yard catch and run to give the Browns the go-ahead score that you thought would be the game winner en route to 261 yards receiving for Josh Gordon. He is the only player in the history of the National Football League to have back-to-back games with 200 yards receiving. He leads the NFL in yards receiving per game now at 125. He is the bright spot, and if there's anything you take away from this, say thank goodness. As I said when it was Thanksgiving, what are you thankful for? That they didn't trade Josh Gordon. Thank goodness they didn't trade Josh Gordon. And I know there are a lot of people, because I've been getting feedback on Twitter, I've been getting feedback just from running into people over the holiday weekend, that they pretty much had it. They are fed up. And I understand that. It's been 15 years of futility, and it's been turning over year after year after year, and certainly management seems to turn over every 2 years. Ultimately, I believe in this front office group, they've made two good decisions vis-a-vis trade so far. They traded Trent Richardson. They ended up ultimately, while it was discussed, not trading Josh Gordon, which, again, thank you. Thank goodness.
Good non-decision.
Goodness. Sometimes the best moves you make are the ones you don't. And so, ultimately, hopefully, it turns around. Is 2013 going to be remembered as a fun season? No. Have the last couple of months been very, very fun? No. And, you know, week 9, beating the Baltimore Ravens, that seems like an absolute eternity ago, Notorious. It almost seems like an out-of-body experience that you have to wonder, did that really happen? Were we really going to Cincinnati up 13-0 at the beginning of that game?
Eons ago.
I mean, it's hard to even fathom. So It's depressing. It's tough. And, you know, one question I want to ask people that I'm curious, and I'll ask it to you as well. Given that the Browns are now 4-8, given that they are now not in the playoff picture anymore, what do you want out of the last four games? As a Cleveland Browns fan, would you rather have them go 4-0 and end the season 8-8, or would you rather have them say, okay, it is what it is, let's just go out there and play, and you know, if we end up 4-12 and get a top five pick in the draft, so be it.
I want to talk about a win. I want to talk about a win. I can't stand
losing.
It's beyond awful, and it's painful. And you heard the emotion that Joe Haden expressed. But as someone who has to talk about this team as part of his job on a daily basis, and you're with me on this, we both do. We're both in this together.
We are.
This sucks. This isn't the way this should be. No one should have to endure this. And I'm talking, of course, about the fan base that showed up. There were to the tune of maybe about 45, 46,000 yesterday, which probably was even a little more than I thought might be there. And, you know, I don't even want to begin to think about the Chicago crowd, the last regular season home game. But giving people something that they can just connect with and in one way, shape, or form, that they can just feel a sense of, okay, there is reason to believe the same thing that you said you believe in. And I'm with you for the most part to say that I think correct answers and help can come down the line because of the ability or track record of the people to do that. But I can't go there now. I can't even make myself try to make the case that you've got something to believe in right now, because there's nothing to believe in. And games like
something to believe in.
Games like, yes, we need to be playing that song. The games like yesterday suck the hope right out of it. I mean, games like yesterday, which we both went in thinking would end just the way it did, or at least in terms of the point differential, and it would be a loss. But that was the Jacksonville Jaguars. That was Chad Henne leading an 80-yard drive against this team and this defense. And on a day when Brandon Whedon did everything possible to lose a game, to give it away, he was also doing things that obviously contributed to this team's ability to possibly win the game. And then you needed something else. You needed the defense to come through. And it's easy to just throw your arms up and say, this was just another Whedon washout. But it's not that simple. There were other things that contributed to this loss, and I'll say it. It was players. It was coaches. I did not love what happened at the end of the first half. You're going to get the ball at the beginning of the second half. I don't want him throwing the ball.
Why
have him throw it?
It?
Because he was making horrendous decisions. On one play, he had an open Josh Gordon, and he's looking at Jordan Cameron on what was effectively a clearing route, and he was getting some pressure and going there instead of going to the outside. I mean, that's a problem. And overall, words just can't really describe where we are in watching this football team, because it is days like yesterday that caused the piling on to occur, to cause the sense of the malaise. This is another December of just walking in a daze, mind-numbing December for a Browns fan.
It is. It is. And you're right. And you look at this team and you say, okay, well, at least the defense is that good. And this was a game where whoever you want to pin it on, whatever you want to say, ultimately the stat sheet will show outside of that bad end of the first half, which was bad. They went from a 14-7 in the course of basically a minute to down 20-14. That is horrific. That is bad. I'm not saying that's not bad. He still threw for 370 yards. Three touchdowns, 9.3 yards per attempt. The Cleveland Browns outgained the Jacksonville Jaguars 439 yards to 314, averaged 6 yards per play to 4.4. Everything says, once again, Brandon Whedon even converted 6 out of 13 third downs. That is, for Brandon Whedon, that is unbelievable. And at the end of the day, with 3 minutes and 55 seconds left, The Cleveland Browns were up 28-25. And we've seen them lose games where we say, oh, if only the offense gave us something, this defense is good enough, they're going to win. Well, what hurts more about this one, the reason that this one stings even more, is that the offense did do something, put 28 points on the scoreboard, and yet it was not ultimately enough. With 3 minutes and 55 seconds left, the Jacksonville Jaguars were able to go 80 yards, score a touchdown, and defeat the Cleveland Browns. And that, I think, is one of the things that is as tough as any to swallow at this point, because this was a game unlike the others. The similarity were the giveaways. And again, this is not a team that is good enough to win when they give the ball away three times. We've seen it 3 weeks in a row. And I think the other thing that hurts about this is you didn't come away from any one of these games saying, my goodness, the Browns could not compete with the team that was on the field with them. You don't think I did? You know they can. They are making awful, dumb mistakes. And I think, and I'm glad you brought it up, because I've been very supportive of the coaches of this team. And listen, schematically, given the talent, what we know the talent is on the offensive side of the ball, when it's really Josh Gordon and everybody else, the fact that the offense produced that many yards and that many points, that's working. But to put Whedon in that position at the end of the first half, just kneel on the ball.
Just get out of
there. Get out of there.
He needed, at that point of the game, where he is and what his game is, et cetera, he needed a rope. Instead, he's drowning. They're just kind of letting him drown by giving him more opportunity to do what he can't do. And they know what his limitations are. They know when, and you know they're going to crank up the heat. You know what kind of a pass rush he was going to see then. And that was not a circumstance where being aggressive was the right thing to do. I love the mindset. I love the philosophy. I don't want to discourage that, but that was not the time to do it. The situation said, get out of the half with your butt. Just get out of there intact. And instead, we saw what took place, and that was really the implosion and the unraveling of what had been some decent momentum that was built up. And you want to help whatever confidence he has. But this thing just goes from strange to absurdly bizarre when you look at finding out an hour after the game that Brandon Whedon is dealing with a concussion. When he was concussed, no one really knows. Did it happen on like a late sack or something in the game? I was looking at the tape. I know you were too. I can't find that point. He from by all indications, normal after the game and doing the breakdown with the team, whatever. And then we find out, again, concussed. And he is going through the NFL protocol. He was sent home early today. We're going to talk more, by the way, at 2 p.m. with the head coach of the Browns, Rob Chudzinski. I did get to sit down with him and get some more answers about this quarterback thing, because this is a whole, we could be doing a whole show just on the quarterback story. We really could. And I guess we'll, I know we're going to talk about it over the next couple of days, but just to set the,
we have no idea who's going to quarterback the Cleveland Browns,
Nathan,
in week 14.
I'm telling you that the quarterback for the Cleveland Browns in week 14 at New England could very well, and in fact, maybe it's better than 50%, could be someone who's not on this roster right now. Someone that would be signed in a matter of days. And that's nuts, because it just doesn't look like it would be Alex Tanny, even though he's the only healthy quarterback in the building besides you.
And
you know, you might want to just go out there tomorrow when they do those tryout things and just show them just, what you got, because I know you can sling that pill. But it, no, I know we're trying to, trying to find some levity here. There is none to be found, because this is really, really tough to look at. But the quarterback story, finding out about his concussion, and then how do you process that, and where does that factor into the game itself, just having that kind of come out after the fact? And you know Jason Campbell is trying to come back from his concussion. Will he be ready, cleared for activity but not cleared to practice? That's not a good sign on a Monday. That doesn't give you any hope that he's likely to play this game. And Alex Tanny comes off the Cowboys practice squad, and we know he doesn't have really any semblance of running this offense, and I don't think the coaching staff has any faith that a guy with that little experience playing his, make his first NFL start, come in Foxborough, Massachusetts against Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots. Sure, that's a good plan. No, this thing just gives you, I mean, we want to talk about concussion, you keep hitting your head against the wall, and that's what this does to you. I mean, this is the feeling you get watching this football team and watching these things unfold. And wow, because you brought up the defense, and that's another thing that I really want to sort of see the end of in terms of discussion the stats, the numbers, top five, top six, great in this category, outstanding in that category. Stop. Stop. It doesn't matter anymore. When you can't stop Chad Henne and you can't stop a team that just comes into this game with no traction. They had traction, but no reason to believe that they should come into First Energy Stadium and beat the Browns and beat a defense that is in the top 10. And I'm beginning to think that that doesn't matter. Ace freaking Sanders is a guy that beats
great
you.
Name.
It's a wonderful name.
Cecil Shorts from Ohio.
At least Cecil Shorts had something
right.
going for
he
him.
He has a resume.
Coming in. But now you make Ace Sanders a true ace. Shouldn't
yeah.
do that.
And the problem is, and we've talked about it, and I mean we've talked about it ad nauseum, that it's not, and granted, the star has scored now 2 weeks in a row, but it's guys, Clay Harbor, Mercedes Lewis, that was his first touchdown of the season. Tight ends are coming. Tight ends have scored 8 times in the last 7 games against this Cleveland Browns team. Guys like Joseph Fauria have scored 3 times against the Cleveland Browns. It's people who come in here and have no name and leave all of a sudden with touchdowns
and
more impressive resumes than they had entering First Energy Stadium. And it's frustrating. It is tough. It's difficult to stomach. It's tough. This one's tough. I will say, at least as a fan, I would have rather watched this game than a 10-7 game, because at least they did put points on the board, and you know, at least you got to see Josh Gordon make history. I mean, really,
there's
at one point, take away from this that you are seeing Josh Gordon, and you're hearing this, and I'm hearing this all around the building, that he has matured. He is a changed guy. His effort, his professionalism is getting better every week, and you see his numbers getting better every single week. At least, you know, maybe it's like when the Chicago Bulls were watching Michael Jordan in his infancy and they weren't winning, they weren't going to the playoffs, but you knew you had somebody around whom you could build. And at least on the offense, Josh Gordon is clearly a guy who is around somebody you can build. Right now he's the best receiver in the league outside of Calvin Johnson.
He's a great receiver.
And he's done it with Brandon Whedon, Jason Campbell, and Brian Hoyer.
Just on a bad football team. He is on a bad team. This is a bad football team.
It is, yeah.
I'm going to call it what it is. It's a bad football team. I wrote that for Cleveland Browns. .com regarding Gordon. He's doing this on a bad football team. He's doing this despite missing those first 2 games with the suspension. He did what he did yesterday despite the hit to the chin that he suffered that raised questions about whether or not he would have to go through some concussion protocol himself, and boom, he comes back out there. Yes, he is the only thing that you can point to and say this looks good. This looks real. This looks like a professional football player playing at a high level. But that's it. And that's not enough. And it doesn't work if you don't have the other component. Obviously, the most important component being quarterback. But I got to say this. In light of, and it's not just the Brandon Whedon disaster of the year that defines what this team is all about at the position. It just isn't that, because multiple calamities, injuries, etc., have come into play here, and bad play. It's the idea that the next guy, the guy that you will believe in, the guy that you will say you can build your team around, because you build it around quarterbacks, obviously. I see it being so far off. I don't know who that guy is in May when the draft comes. I don't know. I see some good performances on Saturdays. Again, we go through this, Nathan, almost now on a weekly basis, and we're going to more intensely as this season just turns into what it's turned into, and then through the offseason. But it seems like a long way off, and just trusting that guy will be the right guy, that everything will work out perfectly, that he'll be ready to contribute and make an impact. I just think that's a hard thing to pin your hopes to right now. You want to pin your hope to more than that. And this is what worries me. And I brought this up with the head coach, and you'll get his answer on this. I just wonder about the regression that I do see elsewhere, and how long lasting can that be? How much of a carryover is that into next year? Or is it just a function of, hey, this thing is dead and you're just playing it out? Maybe it's that. I don't want it to be what I'm fearing it is, too, and there is regression in places where we thought there was progress or foundation.
Yeah, obviously.
That makes sense?
Yes,
I'm not trying. I'm really not trying to be fatalistic here, but I don't know how to process that, because we're seeing this thing move
back. Well, that was the kind of game that if they were going to win, you thought that they would win in that in the fashion. If you score 28 points, you think that the defense, which has been so good, is going to be good enough to win the game against the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Right.
I don't. And again, and you can, as you're, you know, maybe I'm more of a glasses half full kind of a guy. I still feel coming out of those games that mistakes, it is in a lack of attention to detail and taking care of the football that have really been the unraveling of the Cleveland Browns in the last 3 weeks, because that's when the season has turned. That's when the season went from it had the opportunity to be great, it had an opportunity to be in the playoff playing meaningful games all throughout the month of December, to now where we are, where which is clearly not good at 4-8. You're up 13-0 against the Cincinnati Bengals. You then throw an interception at your own 20-yard line. You then have that the debacle, the two-block punts, the fumble recovery for a touchdown, and go down 31-0 in the second quarter of that game. You turn the ball over four more times the following week against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and then three times this week. In my opinion, it is a team that was close and now is kind of reeling from the fact that they were so close and they in many ways gave it away themselves. And I think that's what hurts these guys the most, and I think that's what is the toughest for these fans. Because are the Browns a good football team? You can say no, because good football teams don't make those plays. They don't make those mistakes. But I do think they are better than their record indicates, and their inability to pay attention to detail and handle the fine details that championship and winning football teams do handle at the most important times is the reason that we are where we are right now.
All right, the roundtable, we're going to get that together probably at about the bottom of this hour, maybe 10 minutes or so. Of course, the roundtable, which is served to you by Rosewood Grill, Rosewood Grill in Hudson and Strongsville. Catch the delicious details at rosewoodgrill.com. That's something to look forward to, Rosewood Grill, eating there, enjoying it so much. So Doug Deacon will be with us from the Cleveland Browns PNC Bank Radio Network, and, of course, Tom Withers from the Associated Press. I told you, Rob Chudzinski, top of the hour, you'll hear from the head coach. And we'll hear from you, 216-578-0850. Want your feedback on a Therapy Monday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.